the Word of God, obviously the King James Bible, your foundation, rightly dividing it, good sound doctrine. You get good sound doctrine, outstanding foundational point to be in. What I want to cover today, kind of name my series of Bible studies, is what about that news? So what about that news is my title. You'll kind of see how I get in this thing here. Once you realize you got the words of God in your hand, information. And what you do with it affects your life. And you kind of see how when the Lord wrote these things down, he does not happy chance write these words down. There's a purpose. And what I found out a lot of times is you read the Word of God, you can read it again and again and again and again, and you'll see things that you didn't see after reading it for 8, 10 years. Because the Lord didn't want you to know that part yet. That's why the book is alive, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing a soul, sunder, joint, marrow, discerner the thoughts and the hearts. Because the Lord may not have you ready for that particular truth or not particular truth in your life. So that's why no man could have written this book. It's a supernatural book. So I just want to cover some things that will hopefully help you out. We want to help you out here today, you know. And so speaking of this news, think about this here. You've got good news in bad times, or good news in good times, or bad news in bad times, or bad news in good times. But all depending on the perspective of the things that are around there. So, you know, if you, and I'll show you some scriptures here, some portions of scripture where how these can play into the lives of people, and you can see how it applied in probably your life somewhere along the line, got some words, some news, and you reacted one way or the other. Amen? So that's what I'll try to show you next series weeks here. Now, news, and obviously there's good news. The word good appears very early on in Genesis 1:3, you know, and so forth, when God said he did this after second creation, it was good, and it was good, and it was good. So there's good things in scriptures, and there's some not so good things in scriptures. You know, even the book is kind of a negative book, if you think about it. But, you know, that's why if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, a lot of things is, thou shalt not do this here. Charity is not doing this. Even the commandments, thou shalt not. So there's a negative and a positive. It says here, and news has to do with what? Words. W-O-R-D-S. Now, it could be a situation, but generally, news has to do with words. It says here in Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters, as a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And a lot of times you'll hear missionaries use that verse, and it's a good verse for missionaries because they're overseas and they're giving you a report of what's going on in their foreign field. But, you know, when you think about that, the far country, you know, is glory, you know, the third heaven. And the good news is right here in our hands. We can hold it right here. So that's the good news right there, you know. So we've got good news. We can hold it in our hand. That's a rarity today that, you know, God just didn't put us here. So he gave us good news from a far country. We can hold it in our hand here. News can be information or a situation that produces news or information. Think about that. And I'll show you some of these scriptures I'm going to go through and these little parts of the Bible, how important that really comes to be. Times, I said good news and bad times. Times can be a season in the scriptures, a duration, an age, or part of a duration, whether past, present, or future. So, you know, times change in our lives. Amen? I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, our folks would say, you know, go out and play whatever you're doing. And we had no cell phones. And if you're not home for dinner, give us a call. And we just go out wherever we want to go. You can't do it today. You're afraid to death to leave your kids out. I mean, see, times do change. And times have changed in the scripture. And the Lord knows all that. Now, we can, there's encouraging words, discouraging words. We can encourage ourselves. A lot of times, where there's a problem is right in our own mind. We self-destruct ourselves by our own thinking. You know, our news comes from ourselves. David, Bible says, encouraged himself in 1 Samuel 36. It says, and David was greatly distressed. And in Samuel here, he had all this pressure. They, in fact, they wanted, I think, wanted to kill him here in verse 30. For the people spake of stoning him. So, you know, here's a guy with a lot of things. His own people. Nothing being turned on by your own people. You know that? Your own family members, you know. Just when you get saved a lot of times, you know, it says there, your foes shall be of your own household. Right? You know, kind of sad when your own people, you know, turn on for a righteous cause. One thing is something wrong, like, you know, yeah, I'm kind of shunned now because I did A, B, C, and D, you know, all that. But, you know, to be turned on for a righteous cause. And David obviously was trying to do right here, and they're trying to stone him. It says, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's a good principle right there. You know, is you can encourage yourself. I always say this here. I go, 98% of the problems I have is the person right in the mirror. And every 2% are my wife's. You know, so I got to give her something, you know, some credit. But 98%, it's the person in the mirror. If you look at your life, you've caused some troubles yourself, you know. And Numbers 32, Numbers 37:2, it says here, then, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of children of Israel from going over the land which the Lord had given them. And I'll cover this in a minute. This was where the spies went into the land, and I'll show you what they said that discouraged the people, the words they used in a minute. We are our biggest enemy, obviously. It says here, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So he said, you can provoke people by our words. And you'll see a lot of examples of this here in the scripture, how just a few words change directions of individuals and nations. And how God recorded that, you know why? So we can use this for a learning. Now let's go back to that scripture here in Numbers 13. Kind of interesting. Here we have the chapter 13. 13 is kind of generally a bad number in the Bible. And what's happening here? Kind of a bad deal here for nation of Israel back here. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, so here's the Lord speaking to Moses, and they knew Moses was the leader right there. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the fathers shall be send the man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, send them from the wilderness. And he went through here, and he took one representative from all the tribes, and they went into the spy out the land for 40 days. What happened is they come back, and what happened is what Caleb did. Is they brought back, you know what, you ever see proofs in the pudding? You know, so they brought these big grapes back. And, you know, I could tell you, sometimes, you know, a picture worth 1,000 words. You know, look at this, man. Look what the Lord did. That's why we have a testimony. Look what the Lord did. I know, by testimony, maybe something in your life, something that he did. So here it says, and Caleb comes back with the spies, and it says in verse 30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said. So here he is going to say something. You know, does he have good news, bad news? The context, you know, what's he going to say here? Let us go off at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So here's a man that spent 40 days walking around, seeing all this, and he's kind of was saying, go. Now, what's interesting is, if I asked any of you out looking to name the other people, you probably couldn't name any of them. They're all listed right here in verse 13. They were all scared. Maybe you can, I don't want to burst you, but you never hear the other people. But, you know, Caleb, you understand there. But the men that went up with him said, now they're giving some words here. we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. See that there, folks? They brought an evil report, which is kind of very sad here. An evil report, saying the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. Now, a grasshopper is this big, and you kind of step on it. But look at in their mind. See, in their mind we did? They were fearful. And they discouraged the people. They had discouraging words in a good time. And what happened is the whole nation kind of, you know, God looked upon that, sent leadership out there, and they wandered in a desert for a whole generation. Kind of a sad thing. Have you ever said something that maybe you regret saying or doing? Amen? I guarantee it. Amen? And you know what, though? You try to go back on it, but you know what, though? You know, if you take back two or three things you said, that's why, you know, women, be careful. I'm married. You know, if you're married, hit them to your wife, she'll remember that. A man have a problem, next day they forget. That's why God gave us women, you know why? To remind us what we say. Amen? Seriously, think about that. You know, from years ago, like, well, I don't remember that. I should write it down because I forget. But we forget things. But women sometimes don't. They listen to words more and take them more profoundly than maybe a man would. But obviously, these words here are very important. So it's very important, the words that we speak. Okay? Now, Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? There are motivations that could produce good words or bad words. And here we have anger and envy. Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Psalm 59:12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. You see, where you go. There's always a motivation behind the words we speak. Here in Numbers, these folks were free. They forgot the words that the Lord told Moses. That's why it's very important. Remember God's words. As high God's word in your heart, you might sin against thee. That's why it's so important to believe and put absolute authority on the words of God and hide them in our heart. So when a situation comes up, what the Bible say about that? And then we're able to obviously respond appropriately. But here we have, and I'm 60 now, I got gray hair. Without a doubt, it's generally pride, jealousy, envy are great motivations for folks. That's why they destroyed the Lord, for envy. Those religious people couldn't stand someone taking over their religiosity, I call that, you know? But for envy, they've delivered them up. And so nothing has ever... And Jesus spoke good words. Now, if you look at his things he said, where he really got kind of strong when he saw the scribes and the Pharisees calling them generations of vipers and all those things. Obviously, they didn't like to hear that. And then because of these sins, they reacted appropriately. See, nothing really ever changes. Now, we are the only people that communicate by words. Think about that. I mean, look at the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom has pretty much just got very limited noises or communication. I go deer hunting, and it's basically come here, go away, I'm afraid, run away, mate. It's very limited what an animal do. They don't have any books, things they write. Where God made it that we, us, our common denominator is we do communicate by words. That's very important. That's why God gave us this, so there's no question. No question about anything happening. Now, basic things we should know when we look at the scripture and we look at some of these words, big thing is context. If you look at Brother Hoffman's how to know the scriptures, he spends a lot of time on context and contracts. Very, very good understanding that, because why? A lot of false teaching or bad doctrine comes from taking things out of context. Very, 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 very problematic. Now, who is the person bringing these news? Who? Remember the who teaching? Who are you talking to? Who's bringing the news? Is the information or news true or false? Who is the news addressed to? What side are you on when you're getting this news? Is it good news or bad news? Now, if you're a well driller and you go see somebody and his well is dry and you got a $30,000 job, that's probably good news for you, but bad news for a guy, you're going to have to pay the money, right? So all depending on what size the news are, I mean, depending whose side you're on, right? Timing. How? What's the timing of news? I'm going to show you in a little bit here that God's timing is absolutely sure set, without a doubt. That's why as you read the scripture, well, I mean, it's exactly the way it is. Even these folks that I read in Numbers, 40 years, God, the Lord knew all that. And then you look back on that, you know why? Look what those people did. So it's a learning for our example. Sin and attitude can affect the news. And I just covered these things here in Proverbs and Psalms. Just, you can see throughout Scripture, okay? Now, what is the Lord teaching us from these examples? Let's look at Genesis 37 here. And I'll spend some time here and go through Genesis 37. Genesis 37 is a great portion of Scripture. And in 37, this is where Joseph gets kind of in trouble with his brethren. And it's all about the things that I just talked to here. You'll see it all through Scripture. Now look at this here. In verse 37, we have here, it says, and these are the generations, verse 2, of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years. So here it is. We know that Joseph's a young lad. Remember when you're back 17 years old? I mean, I'm sure these people were well smarter than me, but I was a dumb kid 17 years old. I don't know. I can relate to that there. You know, just a dumb kid, especially when you got older brethren. I mean, 10 older brethrens. Benjamin was younger, but most of the brothers were quite older. And what happens when you're older brothers? Kind of look up to them. And a lot of times, you know what, though? They look down on the younger ones. That's what you do. He's a young punk. He can understand things. So he's 17 years old here. It says, and his father, Joseph, brought unto his father evil report. So right away, kind of Joseph might be a little bit of a tattletale. Maybe he saw things his brother weren't doing, and it says he brought him this evil report. And his dad probably knew his sons weren't doing things, but you know what? No one likes the tattletale, right? You know, I mean, nobody likes that. Oh yeah, don't tell so and so, man. It's gonna be all over the news. So he was a kind of a tattletale. So he was not like, because if you tell Joseph something, he'd go tell his dad. You know, I could see that happening here in a family matter. You know. And when his brethren saw him, it says here that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, what's happening here is obviously we got Israel sending Joseph to his brother. Says, and when his brother saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. So there's that emotion, that hate already going on. So if someone that you don't like gives you words, they generally don't have any effect on you because you don't like the person. I mean, I don't want that person. I don't like them. You know, I don't want that person there. So remember, your emotion will affect the words that you have. And could not speak peacefully unto him. You could tell by people you deal with how they greet you. You know, you can tell there's something going on there, you know. Nothing new ever happens as new here. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet more. So here he is speaking words to his brother about something that was true. And he said unto them, "Hear I pray you this dream which I have dreamed." So here he is, a young lad, their brother, who they don't like already. They know he's a tattletale and on the side of his dad. Everybody likes to have their dad love them. Amen? I mean, if you have family, you know, who's your dad love more? You want to be the big dog, so to speak, whatever, you know. Anyway, so he goes through the story here about binding sheaves, and they all bow down to him. In verse 8 it says, "Shall thou indeed reign over us?" See, they're hearing things. This guy's telling us they reign over us. "Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for this dreams and for his words. Now, they said they hated him in verse number 4. They said they hated him even more in verse 5. And there it is 3 times. Something about 3. They hated him. They hated me. They hated him more. It's that motivation to hate that just kind of drives individuals. That's why it's a bad deal to have no hatred in your heart or no anger. That's why it says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It's okay to get mad for a day, but that's it, one day. Hey, make it one day. Do not ever go to bed angry. What's the problem, you know? So, and why you go to bed at night, if you read it carefully, it says the devil get in that things, right? So, I mean, hey, you know what, though? He just might do that. So very dangerous going to bed angry. And there's just cause to be angry. I understand that, you know. There's just causes. But you know what? Without a doubt, don't let them go more today. So here we have in verse 8, they've heard these words. It says, "And yet more for his dreams and for his words." See that there? And he, without a doubt, was a righteous young lad trying to do right. A dreamer. They didn't know the whole situation here. Now, Bible says, verse 11, "And his brethren envied him." You see that there? There's that envy again. You know what anger and envy, things aren't going to end good. Okay? Aren't going to end good. But his father observed the saying. What that said? His father didn't like those words at first. But his father, being a righteous man, understood that what that dream he had was probably true. Because his father was spiritual. And these men were not. This brother were not. So even though he didn't like hearing that, even he'd be bowing down to him, but he knew they were true. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said, "Here am I." There's a nice obedient son wanting to go listen to the father. Now, Joseph is a picture of the Lord throughout Scripture. So he is obedient to his father. There's a picture of Israel and being obedient. Now, it says here, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again." What's interesting is, you know, when next time they heard from him, he just thought, Israel, he'd back later on. Well, he didn't bring word again until Genesis 45:9. That's 22 years later. How about that? You see your son? 22 years you hear from him. How many times do you say goodbye to somebody? I tell my wife, "I love you every day. You don't want to in case I don't come home if something happens," right, Gene? You know, it's in case. Last thing I said is, "I love you," right? You never know. You know, I deal in business where people pass away. I hear stories, the last thing was a bad thing. It's really sad to hear the last words was an argument or something like that. It's a sad thing, you know. You never know. So right here, "Bring me word again." And Israel heard, but it was 22 years later. You take the account of him going into Egypt, him going into Potiphar's house, going into jail, and finally, during the famine, it was Genesis 45:9, when he finally brought word again to his dad. Now, obviously, it was good news, but it was a long time. And we go down here to verse 18, says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. How about that? There's conspiracy going on there. Ain't that something? You see that there? You know, when you hear the word conspiracy, what's the next word go in your mind? Conspiracy theory, right? And they're all bad. Well, we understand there's some ones that are kind of outlandish. But you know what, though? It just tells you conspiracy based on the word of God. Just a couple people getting together trying to conspire against you. Happens every day. I mean, that's just like not really a big deal, you know? But, you know, it's being having discernment and looking at like scripture and looking at all the evidence, saying, well, it's a good one or bad one. You kind of got to wait and see a little bit here. You know, a lot of things going on right now, folks. You don't know what to believe, right? You know, you kind of exciting times to kind of wait and see what the Lord's going to do here. Amen? And when they said one another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Remember, they're filled with anger and wrath and envy with their hearing. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will cometh of his dreams. You know what, though? This is completely selfishness. They knew that this was their dad's favorite son. They didn't care about what their dad thought, did they? It's like it's self-consuming. See, either, you know, hearing these words, envy, anger. Joseph's not wrong. He's just a 17-year-old kid, just probably going the real happy-go-lucky, use that word, see his brothers out there, and they're conspiring to kill him, man. That could happen to us, folks, you know. Come now, we shall see what will happen to this here. You know what, though? Kind of like even called a Bible thumper. You know, you just stand, if you just stand for the Word of God, I promise you, you will be called names. Mark my word. You know, this is a kind of going into the story here. When I adopted a couple kids, I got my little daughter. I got her at 3 months old, and we went through the DCFS department. That's the Department of Family and Children's Services. Went through Lutheran Agency to get a little girl. And she's about 2 years old. And so we disciplined her. We spanked her, you know. Not a real big deal. I mean, did it the right way, you know. Well, about a 21-year-old kid that got out of college was on the case. And she mentioned they spanked him. Oh, man, child abuse. And so just, I got plugged into the system. They reported me of having anger management. You know, I had to go, I'm like, and I went to the person above it, Tim, you understand, once they report it, it's a system we're in. And it's a system, so I'm like, hey, you can't live with your kids. I go, what? Yeah, you have to move out of the house. Now, we had two properties, so we kind of, you know, worked around all that there. And I had to go see a psychiatrist for anger management. It's a true story, okay? And I said, hey, I go, well, my pastor, he's got some doctor's degrees. I'll say him, oh, no, got to go to our psychiatrist. I go, if I go there, you're paying. Okay, we'll reimburse you. So I went to see this a Jew, he's a psychiatrist. I go, if I'm going to go there, you want, Lord, you know the whole situation here. I'm just going to be a nice guy, and I'm going to answer what Scripture. I'm going to answer what the Scripture said. And so he seemed right away, I was a regular kind of guy, you know, and so I just give him Scripture. And I went on 3 or 4 times, and we go for a walk along a little creek, around a lake over here, and I give him Scripture. He gets so mad. You're always answering, you bite. He was getting madder and madder because I just give him Scripture. And finally, he just kind of came apart, and he's yelling at me and foul mouthed and calling me names. The guy gave me anger management. I'm serious now, anger management, you know. And so I called down. I go, hey, the guy that you're telling me, he's yelling, cussing at me, you know? And they go, oh, come on. That's a true story. And so I hung the phone up. Next thing I get a Federal Express letter. Hey, you're okay. I'm serious. They must have called mom and go, this guy's this guy starts making kids again. You know what's interesting about that? That guy sent me Christmas cards for years and write this big thing on there. Hey, how you doing? You know what though? Your words have an effect on people, folks. Especially when they're the Word of God. Mark that down. I mean, I should have brought him here. He wrote this. Hey, I mean, not like a how you doing, a stamp there, what's that, car picture. It was a whole big story. And I mean, at least 10 years. So the Lord was working on them. And I can imagine when they found out, what did he say when they called down there? You know, when the anger management guy is cussing, yelling at me, you know. But point being is, you know, see here? I mean, you're called something for a reason. Bible thumper. And as long as it's representing the Lord, it's a good thing. It's okay. Sometimes the world against you, like Joseph kind of had his world against him, right? I mean, his dad was good, but here, you know, you want to be loved and liked by your own family, and they conspire to kill him. That's a sad deal. Here in verse 21, and Reuben heard it. Now he's hearing things now. That little guy got some truth. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. So here's a guy, you know, hey, this is a serious matter, killing a brother. I mean, at least, you know, and remember, the Lord's telling you this here and giving you a story of what happened with his story and words that mean things here. And Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid out of their hands and deliver him to the father again. So he was trying to maybe teach him a lesson, I guess. You know, put him in the pit, let him go down there for a little while, and then, you know, we'll bring him up again here and so forth. And then what happened in verse 25? They're eating, and they sat down and ate bread. They don't care about nothing. Your brother's in the pit over here. They're just chowing down. You know, must have been a Baptist, you know, just eating food there or whatever, you know. They're just chowing down. And Judah said, his brethren, what profit it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? And hey, there's a Jew. He wants some money. What profit it? Get that, you know? Don't blame me. I mean, nothing ever changes here. It is. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Here they are. This Jew wants to make some money. Not to say that, I get there, but you know what? Nothing ever changes. Let me tell you a true story. I deal with some folks, and we market these structured settlements, and they're purchased by all lawyers, almost all Jewish lawyers. They buy these structured settlements from lawsuits, and they repackage them and sell them. And they're a great thing because they're all guaranteed, and then they're resold, and you get a good return guaranteed. That's a very good thing to do. And so my friend of mine, he went to visit him one time, and he flies down to West Palm Beach. These guys pick him up in a Ferrari. He's got some dough. I mean, it's June, and they have their convertible Ferrari to pick him up. He can barely get in the thing. He's a big guy, you know. And Liz says their homes are bigger than hotels. And they're having breakfast one day. Listen to this here. And what happened is they did some transaction where they split a commission, and he gave him money, but my guy owed the guy like $18.50. He drives a $300,000 car and has a whole better thing. And he's eating breakfast. He goes, oh, Rich, you owe me $18.50. I go, what? I sent the email, you owe me $18.50. And my Rich is like, what? You know? And he pulled $20 out of his pocket and threw it on the table, and the guy had the change ready to give him. 6 months later, in his mind, this Jew is figuring about spiring. See what I'm saying, you know? And he's like, oh, I don't want that thing. Give her a tip. And the guy took the money, put it in his pocket. The Jew. You know why? These people here, sometimes Jewish people can be tough to love, but God loved them. God loved them. And you know what? That's just the way I go, Rich, I laughed at that story. You know why? Because I understood the Jewish nation of the Old Testament. That's why they made the scribes, Levites, to the scribes, because you know why? Every jot and tittle was there. They watched the words of God, and they're shrewd people, like right here. It says there, oh, what profit it? Well, I know what that means. See, God put those words in there. You can see people's character and reputation over a period of time. You see that? That's why it's important to read them, and you have some of your experience, and you go, aha, the Lord put that in there. See, people are hard to love like that. Strange. I mean, you know, imagine a guy complained about $18.50, whatever it was. Forget about it. But he just, it bugged him for 6 months. That guy's coming to town. I want my money. I want my money. Gets by. Strangest thing in the world. Nothing ever changes in history or scripture. I mean, it's this kind of, we're driving cars of chariots. But the heart of man is desperately wicked still. That's just the way it is. You know, I mean, and words just don't change. The motives don't change. And God put that on there so we can kind of see ourselves and how God works through all these things. And so, sure, what happened? They got 20 pieces of silver here in verse 28. They got some silver for their brother. Didn't care about their dad, what he would think of. You know, kind of a sad situation here, you know. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph's not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. You know, what happened to him? He got out before we can deal with him a little bit, and they told him what happened, and they conspired again. And that made up a big story. Here it says, and we have found, they went to tell their dad, Joseph's their dad, and they brought this coat in. Look what we found. They're all conspiring for all these years. Think about that here. You get into a lie. What happens when you have a word of lies? You're stuck in it. We have to do a lot of times, more lies change that. And more lies, it's a comp. And then you got to remember the lies you're saying because you can remember your lies. That's why a lot of times what happens if police do an investigation, they separate people and they have the stories, different, complete different stories. Because if you have the truth will stand by its own merit. Maybe a different way of looking at it, but, you know, they separate them. And it says here in verse 32, we have found now whether they be the son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. Hey, man, I can imagine, picture yourself there where here's your dad, and they loved him. And they conspired and set this baloney story and seeing your dad see that your brother was killed and he was not. I mean, your brother, what's going on? I mean, imagine, what do we do here? Once you say something, words that ain't true, they have a way more bad thing can happen than you ever think of. It says here in verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into my grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So you can imagine the kind of curse a little bit that was on these 10 brethren. Where every time you see your dad, where's Joseph at? He's dead. And they knew all that time that, you know what? He went, they sold it into Egypt over there. I mean, can you imagine just having that hung on you all this time by some false words said at the wrong time, by motivated by sin? You see that, folks? I mean, I could relate to that there. It's a very, very tough thing. Now, we're almost out of time here, so I'm going to stop right here. I got more next week, but I want to end on a good note. Matthew 28:6. Matthew 28:6. These are some good words. Matthew 26 says, and he is not here. Now, who's speaking here? The angel of God. What's the context? Garden. Resurrection. For he is risen as he said. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He told the disciples he was going to rise from the dead. They didn't understand that Peter wanted a battle for it. No, you're not. You know? So he said he was going to do it, and he did. Come see the place where the Lord lay. There you are. Those are some great words for us. Amen? The Lord rose from the dead, and he ain't there as he said. You know what, though? You can find the bones of a lot of religious people, Buddha, Shinto, Confucius, they run around the bones of Muhammad there in Holy Land, you know? And you know what, though? But you can't find the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what, though? Because our gospel is built on that. He's risen. He is not here as he said. Those are good words. I want to end with some good news. You know, if you look at the Word of God, it's just kind of a negative thing, bad words, evil thoughts, and those are some good news. He is not here. Some of the greatest news that you and I ever have are written down, came from a graveyard. How about that? I mean, think about that. It started in the garden, you know, after, you know, Adam and Eve, and kind of ends in a garden. They're here and right here, and that's a hope. That's the Lord after giving us this book of history. I mean, ultimately, he's the one that just kind of steps in and goes, saying, "Oh, I got it." To go in a restaurant saying, "I got the bill, somebody," and we like that with some pizza bill up, right? Oh, this is way better. Amen. Okay, we'll continue on next week. I got some other parts of scripture. We'll look at how these ideas fall in the scripture and how it has an effect on not only on the lives of folks, history, and how we can apply it to ourselves and hopefully, you know, be more Christ-like. So, Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity just to open up your word and look at how you recorded things and how you set things up and how the words that are written in the word and words that we say can have a dramatic effect on not only our lives, but lives around us and ultimately how it glorifies you. So, Father, let us remember that before we open up our mouth and speak. We speak wise, not as fools, Father. So we thank you for this time this morning. I pray, Lord, as Pastor comes here and brings us a message, that you prepare our hearts and minds to receive truth. And thank you very much for meeting with us here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.